So I'm going to continue our sermon series we started last week on I Doubt It. Matter of fact, for this specific sermon, you may want to write this down. I took a lot of valuable information from a book, and the book's name was, I don't have it on a slide, I should have. It's called I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist. Write that down. I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist. Google that. You'll find it on Amazon or other places. It's definitely worth your time to read. So let's, our key scripture, John 14, verse 6. Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, have you ever heard someone say to someone, tell the truth? Or maybe it was you, and usually it's us as parents kind of looking down at our kids, and we say that. But why is truth so powerful? Matter of fact, I believe there are very few things in a relationship that are more important than truth. It's interesting, though, because truth is, it's like, sometimes it's like a medicine, right? That just soothes and makes you feel all better, doesn't it? But at the same time, truth sometimes, if we're willing to admit it, can bring pain. It can bring stress to our lives, right? I mean, have you ever heard people say things like this? I'm on a search for truth. Or maybe, have you heard this? You can't handle the truth. I know, it's one of my favorite movies. Or, look, that's only half the truth. Now, why do we both desire and fear truth? I mean, many relationships, we'll admit, start with a few simple words of truth. I like you. Boom, we have a relationship. But what I find just as interesting is that I've seen many relationships end with a few simple words of truth. I don't like you anymore. But we also know that God values truth. Would we agree? Matter of fact, look with me. I'll have the verses behind me. It may be easier to follow. I'm going to be hitting a lot of verses this morning. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 22. The Lord hates those whose lips tell lies. That's pretty strong, isn't it? But he is pleased with people who tell the truth. So it really shouldn't surprise us just how desperate we want the truth, even when it hurts. So what is truth? Let me give you a definition. Truth is understanding the facts that agree with reality. I'll say that again. It's understanding the facts that agree with reality. Matter of fact, it also could be almost defined this way. It is the opposite of a lie. That's what truth is. It is the opposite of a lie. And I'm telling you, there's little more in life that you're going to value than the truth. Matter of fact, we demand virtually in every area of our life, we demand truth. We demand it from our loved ones, don't we? We do not want a lie from our spouse, our kids, or really anyone in our family. We don't. We want the truth. We demand it from our doctors, don't we? We want the right medicine, we want the right diagnosis, and we want the right operation done. And we trust them to do that, don't we? We demand it from the police and our court systems, right? We want them to only arrest and convict people who are guilty. That's it. If they're innocent, leave them alone, right? We demand it from our employers, right? We want the truth from them, and we want them to pay us fairly, right? Okay. Well, we expect the truth. When we pick up a reference book, right, we expect the truth. When we read an article, we expect the truth. When we hear a news story or we listen to a teacher or a politician, we want the truth, don't we? I mean, when I read a road sign, when I read a medicine bottle, when I read the ingredients inside of food, I expect it to be true. Actually, you guys know how much I love tag sales, right? If I see a tag sale sign pointing to your house with today's date, you know what I expect to find there? A tag sale. I do. And you know what? If it says huge tag sale, you better have more than one table worth of stuff. Because even I want the truth. But see, we demand the truth from almost every area of our life. I mean, especially in the area of money, relationships, our health, our safety. We want the truth. But you know what I have found? There's an interesting trend that's happening in culture today. People are becoming seemingly less and less interested in the truth in regard to religion and morality, which I find kind of interesting. As a matter of fact, have you ever sat down and told someone about your relationship with God and they said something like, well, that's true for you, but it's just not true for me? You ever heard that? Or something close to that? See, people don't want to be told about your truth because they don't want to be held to a moral or a religious standard. Why? Because if you're being held to it, then you're accountable, right? To what you say and what you do. It's interesting. I have a quote for you. Augustine once said, "We love the truth when it enlightens us, but we hate it when it convicts us." See, when it comes to truth, you know what we want? We want facts. But in regards to like morality and religion, many people, they don't believe in any absolutes. In their mind, religion and morality, it really is just based on people's opinions. They believe that religion, that's only faith. That has nothing to do with facts. I mean, who are we to judge what other people believe? Matter of fact, I'll often be told this, and maybe you've heard this as well. It's personal, Pastor. My morality, my religion, it's personal. You know what I've learned, though, in different people's life? Their personal life can often become very public problems. Have you noticed that? And it doesn't just impact them, does it? It impacts all the people that surround that person. But see, this morning I want to answer a few questions in regard to truth. I believe that it's important for us to be ready to give an answer. Remember, the Bible talks about that, right? Put that scripture up there, 1 Peter 3, verse 15. It says, "But in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy. Always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you." See, but people forget this last part. "Yet do it with gentleness and respect." Now, for some of you, I may actually answer some questions that you've already had and you've been kind of struggling with. Look, I don't pretend to know everything. I really don't. Matter of fact, I think it's wise to be smart enough to know that you don't know everything. So what I want to do today is kind of bring you along the journey that I've been walking, I guess you'd say on a quest for truth, probably the best way to put it. So let's do that. This morning, let's answer the question, what is truth? Now, I already gave you a definition, right? That was an understanding of the fact that agrees with reality. Or the opposite, right, was it's not a lie, right? The truth. But let's dig deeper. So I'm going to give you some statements about truth. Now, you're probably going to want to write some of these down because this is definitely going to be chewy. You ready? All right. Truth is, number one, absolute. It's exclusive. And it's knowable. That was a mouthful, wasn't it? All right. Let me repeat that. Truth is absolute. It's exclusive. And it's knowable. Now, look. I'm going to take these one at a time. You ready? Here we go. See, some people will tell you that truth is not absolute. Matter of fact, what they're going to say is truth is relative. See, they believe that no one knows what truth is. They don't believe in God. Matter of fact, they don't really believe in any form of moral authority at all. They believe that one should do as you feel. Matter of fact, they will tell you there's no such thing as absolute truth. But I'm going to tell you this morning, to deny absolute truth, you'll see it's very self-defeating. Now, what I mean by that is that it's an argument that doesn't make sense. For example, if someone were to say to you, there is no truth, well, is that statement true? Because what are they doing when they say there is no truth? They're giving you a truth. See, we believe that truth is absolute. What that means is it's not flexible. It doesn't change. It's based on facts that do not change. For example, there are absolutely, and I'm using that word intentionally, there are absolutely no square circles. Right? And there are absolutely no round squares. See, truth is based on facts that cannot be changed. It's not relative. And some people believe that truth is exclusive. Now, what do I mean by that? They believe that truth can be inclusive, and what that means is that nothing is false. Everything is true. Matter of fact, we can all have different ideas on what truth is, and they can all be right. Matter of fact, they believe that all religions are true, and you just pick one and follow that. You just pick your religion. Matter of fact, in our culture of tolerance, haven't you seen that as a trend of acceptance? It's everywhere. I'm telling you, it's in our schools. You have to make sure your kids understand what the Bible says. They have to be ready to be able to give an explanation of why they believe something. It's interesting. Christianity says that there's only one way to receive forgiveness, right? And it's through who? Jesus. We read that scripture when we started this, right? John 14, verse 6. It says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. How many people get to the Father without him? No one. Everyone has to go through him to get to the Father. Well, if truth is inclusive, then any other religion that gives a different way to get to heaven is right as well. Because truth is not exclusive. Truth can be anything. And that's not possible, is it? I mean, how can different religions all be true when they contradict each other? Does that make sense? No. So to deny the exclusiveness of truth, it's self-defeating. It is. It's exclusive, which means that there's only one. Now, do you see how important it is to understand what truth is? I mean, people today want to make their own truth. Would you agree? I mean, or they just want to deny that truth is like a rock, that it's unchanging, that they like truth that's kind of flexible. It kind of changes with life. And as I start going through something different, well, my truth can kind of change with that. I'm starting to feel something else, so my truth kind of morphs with it. Matter of fact, some people believe it's impossible to even know truth. I'm telling you, truth is knowable. Because, look, picture if someone told you, you can't know truth. Well, how do they know that? I mean, you see how they... Those statements kind of contradict each other, don't they? You can't know truth. Well, how do I know that? See, the only way to prove whether something is true or not is to test it on evidence. Would we agree? More evidence, the stronger the truth. Truth is objective. Truth is not subjective. Do you understand the difference? See, truth is not dependent on our feelings. Truth is not dependent on our preferences. Something is true whether you like it or not. Well, look at it this way. For a long time, you know what many people believed? They believed the world was flat. They did. And they based that on evidence. These were smart people. They believed the world was flat based on their own evidence. They believed that if you kept walking, eventually you were going to fall off. I'm serious. That was what was taught. Now, was it true? No, obviously. Now, did the fact that many people believed it was true make it true? No. But once more evidence was gathered, they learned the earth was round. Look, the truth is out there. It is. We don't allow people to convince us that truth can't be known, or that it's based on what we want, or what we feel like, or what we've discovered. Do you see how that way of thinking can cause you to make some pretty bad decisions? Pretty inaccurate ones, right? No, I'm gonna still believe the world's flat. Okay. Now, let me give you some common beliefs about truth. Now, this is probably the first one I'm gonna give you, is probably the most prevalent that you'll see in the world today. Most people follow this. They believe that truth is perspective. Truth is perspective. They believe that truth is based on personal opinion. Matter of fact, if you look around the world that we live in, you're going to see a big difference between truth and the perception of truth. I actually found a survey that I think really shows this in great detail. It was a survey based on American health and our perspective. They took a survey of overweight men. 40% of the overweight men thought they looked fine. And they believed that they were at the right weight. Every one of them that was, this is so, all the overweight men, 40% of them said, I look fine. I don't need to lose any weight. And the interesting thing, on the contrast side, they took a survey of women who were the right weight. 29% of women who were the right weight believed they needed to lose a few pounds in order to get to the right weight. Now, both groups of people were operating under the perception of truth, not truth itself. See, thinking that way is going to make a lot of bad decisions. As a matter of fact, it's quite dangerous to make decisions based on the perception of truth. Now, some people believe that truth is tradition. It's also called the spiritual approach. It's based on the fact that our world is full of religions. Full of them, aren't they? And each one of them claim to possess the truth, right? I have not met someone who follows a religion who does not claim that we're right. Have you? Okay. And in our tolerant, accepting society, they tell us that all the religions are right. They basically believe all religions, look, they teach about the same thing. You know, they're pretty close. But we really need to ask, is that true? Do they really teach the same things? See, as Christians, we should actually welcome the opportunity to discuss the differences that we have in our different religions. We should. Matter of fact, we shouldn't be afraid of hurting people's feelings when we disagree or our religions are actually quite different. It's important for them to see those differences. Matter of fact, this isn't anything new. This happened during the New Testament as well. There were all different types of teachings and philosophies that were going on just when Christianity really started to come of its own after the death and the resurrection of Jesus. Paul actually had to deal with this. I'm going to read a portion of scripture for you. This was Paul's teaching to the church in Ephesus. It's in Ephesians chapter 4, and I'll start in verse 11. It says, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature and the fullness of Christ. Now, why? Why did he do that? So that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves, and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are able to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ. See, the more that we read the Bible, the more that we sit under good teaching, the more that we allow the Holy Spirit to mature us, we can become protected from teachings that have, they may sound good, but they're not in the Bible. Matter of fact, the Bible says completely the opposite. Believe it or not, there are things that are going on in the world today under the guise of love that have nothing to do with the Bible at all. Matter of fact, you're the complete opposite of what the Bible says. But you know what? If you don't know it, how do you then talk to them about it? Look, when we compare different religions and their claims, there really are only two possible options. Either A, they're both wrong. Or one is right and the other one's wrong. Those are the only two options. It's not possible for both to be true. Can something be partially true and partially wrong? No, then it's wrong, right? That's why we have to be daily in the Word of God. We have to know what we believe. If you don't, how do you give an answer to those who are going to try to tell you how you really should be living your life? Who are the ones that tell you, no, it's intolerant for you to do that or to behave that way or to not accept this behavior? You better know what the Bible says, because they're going to ask you questions. And the Bible says you need to be ready to tell them why you believe it. But you got to do it with what? Love, gentleness, and respect. I'm telling you, parents, you have to be able to do this to your kids. In the world that we live in today, they are after that generation. They're trying to teach them what is the right way to think and what is the wrong way to think. But you know what they're trying to tell them? No, there's really no wrong way to think. Just whatever you believe. It's whatever you feel. It's okay. Don't feel bad. And matter of fact, accept what that person believes. Whether you think it's true or not, accept them. Accept their behavior. Accept everything about them. That's a lie. You can love somebody and not accept their behavior. That's scriptural. The Bible says to do that. Look, if someone's doing something wrong, it doesn't say hate the person. It doesn't. You're supposed to love them with everything that's inside you. Loving them does not love behavior. Trust me, as a parent, you think I loved the behavior of my kids a lot? No. But I always loved them. Always. And that never changed. Never changed. Always loved them. But you know what? They got punished when the behavior was wrong. Don't allow society to teach your kids what right and wrong is. You have to do that at home. If you're not, you're not preparing them to be ready to give an answer. Because you know who's giving them the answers? Their teachers and their peers and YouTube and Facebook and Instagram and Snapchat and all the whatever ones that are out there now. Don't allow them to be the moral life bringer to them. It's got to be God. It's got to be the Bible. It has to. Gosh, I could be in that forever. I have to go to the next one. All right. Some believe that truth is facts. Facts. It's just facts. Matter of fact, it's called the scientific approach. It's based on verifiable empirical data. That just sounds smart, doesn't it? It does. I mean, that sounds like a scientist would say that. Matter of fact, many people see science as like an infallible God. They really do. And sadly, I've found that many Christians, they're afraid to talk science. They really are. They don't want to talk about the, you know, about what we agree with or disagree with scientists. We get very nervous about that. But see, the science I'm learning, it's great kind of presenting the facts in our world, isn't it? That's what science can do. They observe, and they're supposed to then report what they observe, just the facts. But you know what I'm learning? Science really can't explain truth or morality. They can't. See, look, we assume that a scientist is unbiased and neutral in everything they do. We assume that. But look, even though they're going to deny it, scientists are actually just like us, they're influenced by professional bias. They are. They are influenced by political correctness. Scientists are. They have atheistic or evolutionary worldviews. Look, they have their own blind spots in their thinking. None of what I'm saying is saying that scientists are evil. What I'm saying is they're human. They're not perfect, just like us. And look, while scientific approach, they can discover certain things about our world. They do. They can't make moral judgments, though, about the world that they see. Look, scientific facts, they don't affect human behavior. Look, have you ever heard about a drug addict who picked up a math book one day and then just decided, I've decided I'm not going to take drugs anymore? Have you? Have you ever, someone picked up a book on biology, you know, and then all of a sudden they decided, I'm just going to stop lying now. Look, science does not define morality. Science gives you observations of what they've seen. Plus, look, there are limits to how you collect data. How do you collect data in the spiritual world? Science can't do that. Look, some miracles you can literally bring to a doctor and say, I am cured. Other miracles, there's no observable data. How do you say I've been cured of depression? Look, let's be honest here. I don't want to bash sciences. You know why? God created the sciences. He did. We have nothing to fear from them. Matter of fact, science, like I said, we could learn a lot from that. It's based on careful observation from factual evidence. And we should have a great respect for science and all that it's done and added to our lives. Look at the things that science has done for us. Medicines. Just understanding weather patterns. Just things like transportation. The light bulb. I mean, look at all the different modern technologies that science has given us that not only have made our lives better, we live longer, but truth be told, do you have any idea how better equipped we are to do what God's asked us to do, which is to go, preach, and make disciples? If we didn't have that, would we be able to do anywhere near the missionary work that we've been able to do across the world? So look, but I can tell you this, even though science helps us understand the way our world works, they just can't help us know how we should live in this world. And there's a big difference. They can teach you the laws of physics, right? But they can't teach you the Ten Commandments. They can't do that. See, they can help you understand how to cure a disease. They can help you understand how to mend a broken bone, but they can't help you cure a diseased marriage. They can't. They can't help you mend a broken heart. Science can't do that. See, science has its purposes, but it has its limits. See, what people actually fail to see this. Science actually proves the Bible. It does. In so many different ways. Look, there are things about God, that demand faith. They do. Because you can't, there's no observable data. That's what science is good at. Observe and report, hopefully unbiasedly, but report only what you see. But there are so many things that you will find in science that not only prove what you read in the Bible, but actually prove the creation account in Genesis. It actually does. Matter of fact, put the slide up that has different books. I don't have time to go into it. These are three different books that will help you stop fearing people who come at you with science questions. The Language of God, The Faith of a Physicist, Laying Down Arms to Heal the Creation-Evolution Divide. Write down those books, buy them on Amazon. Allow yourself to be prepared to give an answer. Not only will it strengthen your faith, but it will strengthen your ability to give that same faith to someone else. See, sometimes people are embarrassed. Well, I don't want to, you know, talk about science stuff because I don't understand. And so we just avoid it. And so when they ask you questions about, wait a minute, how could the Genesis, you know, how could creation have happened with God just saying something and it is happening? So people just, they give these answers, well, just the Bible's right. And you know what? You look very illogical. If you can't give a reason why you believe something, you're never going to be able to shine the love of Jesus to certain people where this is where they're at. This is where their mind is. All right. But see, the best way to describe truth is that truth is a person. Truth is a person. We read it, John 14:6, right? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So ultimately what we're asking is, has God spoken? And if so, what has he said? That's really what we're asking. And look, as a Christian, we believe, yes, God has spoken. And what has he said? It's the Bible. It's his word. Matter of fact, John chapter 8, I'm going to go through some verses. So either write them down or just follow me. John 8:31-32. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, if you abide in my word and you are truly my disciples and you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. And that's what we're doing. We're directed to abide. Now, the word abide means to hold fast. It means to not be moved. It literally means to stay in. So if we do that, we will know the truth. As a matter of fact, the word know means, literally, it says absolutely. Truth is absolute. It's to absolutely know. It's to understand. Because if we stay in the Word and the Word is inside of us, it says, the Scripture says it does something to it. What does it do to us? It sets you free. It liberates you. You don't have to fear anymore. All right, 2 Timothy. Like I said, I know a lot of Bible. 2 Timothy 3, starting in verse 15. 2 Timothy 3, starting in verse 15. You have known the Holy Scriptures ever since you were a little child. They were able to teach you how to be saved by believing in Christ Jesus. God has breathed life into all of Scripture. It is useful for teaching us what is true. It is useful for correcting our mistakes. It is useful for making our lives whole again. It is useful for training us to do what is right. By using Scripture, a man of God can be completely prepared to do every good thing. How cool is that? Here you have the Apostle Paul speaking to his spiritual son, Timothy, and just pouring Word of God into him. I mean, we have the ability not only to pour that into our own kids, which we have to be doing, but look, for some of you who may not even have kids left at home, or you don't even have kids at all, you have the ability to do that now. You know what we need right now at FCA? I need volunteers in our children's church. Beginners, juniors, I need you. Not only do you have the ability to pour into them, but you have the ability to pour into our youth, who are probably under the biggest attack of any generation that we've ever had in our lives. They are trying to redefine every area of truth in their life. So you know what? Our youth group, thank God, is bursting at the seams. We need you. I don't just kind of need you. I need you in youth group. I need men and women who are strong in their faith, who just want to pour into different lives and give whatever God gives you. Does that mean you got to be perfect? No. As a matter of fact, what I've learned is that when you seem too perfect, youth don't want anything to do with you. They don't. They want you to be willing to say, you know what, I'm not perfect, but let me teach you based on my imperfection. Let me show you where I've messed up so you don't. That's what they need. So you know what? I need you. Contact Pastor Xavier and say, you know what? Let me help. Let me be a part of what God's doing at FCA. Because God breathed life into all Scripture. That's what it says. It says it's useful for teaching us what's true. If you want truth, just start reading it. It says it's helpful to help us correct our mistakes. Because if you follow what the Bible says, do you have to worry about what you're doing? No, because it's true. It works. It says it will train us to do what is right. look, by following the teachings of the Bible, it will lead you in the right way. You don't have to worry if you're going the wrong way. Follow what the Bible says. I love how the verses end. I love verse 17. The Word of God completely prepares you to do everything right. If that isn't enough reason to read the Word of God, I don't know what is. It literally says completely, which means, what is complete? Is that like, that's everything. That means that you will be completely prepared in every area of your life to do exactly what you're supposed to do. And that's only by reading the Word of God. Not reading a self-help book, not by reading Wikipedia, not by going to Google, by reading the Word of God. You read the Word of God, you hide that in your heart. The Bible says it will help you to not sin. Completely prepared, everything in your life. Oh, I wish I had more time. Look, the reality is truth is black and white. There's no way around it. Truth is objective. Truth is impartial. It's unbiased. It is not prejudiced at all. It is not partisan. There's not a Republican truth and a Democrat truth. There's just truth. There is. And it speaks to all people in all places. It never speaks out of both sides of its mouth. It never does. It is never trying to impress a crowd. Trust me, truth never impresses a crowd. If anything, it scares a crowd. Why? Because it sets down parameters. It sets down a foundation. It sets down barriers that say, no, you don't go that way. You go this way instead. That's what truth is designed to do. It's not, well, what do I feel like this morning? No, that's not truth. Truth says this way, and it's the only way. Now, do you see why Jesus could say with all confidence that I am the way, the truth, and the life? See, the world needs to know that. They need to know that Jesus is the way. They need to know what the Word of God says. They don't need to know what they're feeling this morning. They need to know what God says. Because what does it say? When you have the truth in you, it will set you free. Have you met a few people in the world that are bound up by a few things? Whether it's drugs, alcohol, whether it's just literally they're bound by, I want someone to like me. I want someone to think that I'm normal. I want someone just to think that I'm worth their time. I want people just to think that I'm good. It's time to free people from that. People are bound up in so many ways. And we have the truth. So as you're building your bridges this week, as you're putting down a few planks, as you're getting closer to that person, make sure you have the Word of God in you, because you're going to get an opportunity to speak it. I'm telling you, you may only get one, but if you love someone, I mean, you really love someone, they'll listen to you once. I promise you they will. And you know what? It's not your job to figure out if they're going to receive it or not. It's not. That's God's job. You just do your part.